Hello, listeners. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. Here in Seattle, the program focuses on Out of This World information, including psychic phenomenon, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics, UFO researchers, and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee that it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will not simply not hear elsewhere. We are also the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, and we now have listeners in over 60 different countries in all the world's continents, and we are among the top-rated talk shows in Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise human consciousness to make this world a better place to live, and with everyone's help, I know we can make this planet a much better place and a happier place. Before I introduce my wonderful guest, James von Prague, I just wanted to thank everyone in Switzerland, Japan, the United States, and Canada who've donated to the program. The program is supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to our donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. For those who donate $10 or more, they'll receive a powerful spiritual prayer guaranteed to provide protection. And for $25 or more, they'll get a free psychic reading. If you're interested in this, please just give me a call at area code 509-750-9793 or toll-free within North America at 1-888-879-8339. And you can also email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also wanted to tell everyone about the wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference that I'm sponsoring November 21st through the 23rd at Fort Worden State Park in Port Townsend. We've dropped the price. The price now for the pre-register for the first people who register on or before October 17th is $197. And the conference will include some of the most famous and well-known psychics, including Susan Liberty Hall, who will discuss natural healing methods to cure cancer, Scott Lemriel, Dr. Susan Sumsky, famous New York spiritualist who specializes in auras and chakras from New York City, Phoenix Redhawk, a wonderful Long Island, New York psychic healer, Teresa Carroll, a well-known and accomplished Seattle psychic, Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, will be coming in, Tricia McCannon, a well-known psychic and UFO contactee, and Gordana Burnett, a famous Swedish spiritualist, will also be here from Sweden. For more information, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on the Psychic Conference. By early next week, we should have our own dedicated website to the conference, which will be www.galacticwisdomconference.com. For more information, just send me an email or please call me. Before we start, I'd also like to thank my many listeners here in the United States and abroad for sending good thoughts and prayers to Dr. Masaru Emoto in Tokyo, Japan. He was on my show on July 25th. He's one of the world's most famous water scientists. He's not been feeling well recently, and so we'd really appreciate it if you could send him some love and light. I know it's been helping. And before we begin, I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of my show and my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful moral support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, my dear friend Heidi in Switzerland, who's been helping to arrange appearances by Eric von Doniken and other wonderful European psychics, Karen Anderson, a wonderful friend who's been helping me with various aspects of the conference, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this would not have been possible. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, and on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. James, are you there? Hello, James. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, James. Are you there? Can you hear me okay?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Good. Well, welcome to Out of This World.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, James. I'll just give
I thought you were going to thank three more people, so I thought I had time.
I could. Well, for my listeners here in the United States and around the world, James is an amazing fellow. He's a number one New York Times best-selling author of Talking to Heaven, Reaching to Heaven, Healing Grief, Heaven and Earth, Beyond, Looking Beyond, Meditations, Ghosts Among Us, Unfinished Business, and Growing Up in Heaven. And you have a wonderful new book, too, you sent me called Adventures of the Soul.
Yes.
Journeys Through the Physical and Spiritual Dimensions. I'd love to talk about the book during our hour together. And his messages have brought solace, peace, and spiritual insights, changing millions of people's views on life and death. And he's received many awards for dedicating himself to changing the consciousness of the planet in a positive, wonderful way. I have a biography here that goes on for 25 pages, but if I read the whole thing, James, we're going to end up.
Yeah, we'll have the show, so it's okay. I've done a lot. I'm old.
That's fine. So why don't we just skip it?
That's fine.
And cut to the chase. No, you're giving a let me see now. You're giving a seminar this weekend. Is that right?
Yes, I'm doing actually for the Center for Spiritual Living. I am doing an event tonight, demonstration of mediumship, 7 o'clock this evening, and also I'm also going to be doing tomorrow a full day workshop and Sunday also. How to tune in, use your intuition and your mediumistic abilities, or how to fine tune them, with the emphasis on evidential details in the mediumship. So I'm doing that tomorrow as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to warn you that I'm probably going to show up at your meet and greet and your event tonight.
Okay. I'm consider yourself and myself warned.
your executive assistant, Catherine, it's all her fault. She gave me free tickets, so
great.
I'm going to go.
Great. Enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
So, you've done amazing work, James, and you've also. What I like about you, too, is you've shown people that there is another side, that there are other dimensions far beyond this third dimension. How, you know, you bring this up in your book about how you got started, but if you could tell our listeners how you got started on this spiritual path, would be...
Sure. I was very much a child who, like most children, are very much aware of seeing spirits and lights around people, colors around people, which we now know, of course, called the auric field. And I used to see them all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I was a very little boy, about 7 or 8 years old, I was saying prayers with my mother at bedtime. And I looked at the end of the bed, and I said, "Mommy, who are those people with the lights around them?" And she said, "Oh, those are God's angels. You can see them, too. They'll always take care of you. You'll never be afraid of them. You won't be afraid of them." So right away, I was instilled confidence and love and, you know, really that this was real. And then it stayed with me as a child. I didn't think anything special about it or anything different. I thought most people could see things that way because a child measures the world around them. Mm-hmm. Based upon their experiences. So it was really weird for people that couldn't see them, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then I had a regular childhood. I'd say in my teenage years, I didn't really see as much of the spirit activity. I think that perhaps maybe other things were going on, puberty and such, and hormones, and who knows what, you know.
Sure.
But I didn't really pay attention to that until probably my early 20s. I went to Los Angeles to have a career as a sitcom writer because I thought I was funny enough to do that, and I realized that I wanted to be a writer. Mm-hmm. And through a series of, again, that would take way too long, but a series of jobs and temporary gigs in some places, I ended up going to see a medium. A friend of mine dragged me to see a medium, and I said, "What is that?" And they said, "Someone talks to dead people." And I said, "I don't believe in that necessarily," mm-hmm. because I really didn't think about that until I was from a child having those experiences. Well, I went to this man just as a really to humor my friend, and as soon as I walked in, he said, "You are a medium. And the spirit world wants to use you as a voice box for the spirit world and to help change the consciousness of the planet."
Nice.
And I thought, okay, this is very strange because I just moved to California from New York, and I was a cynical New Yorker thinking this man was crazy mm-hmm. and nutty and fruity. Mm-hmm. And what happened, though, he got through some incredible evidential details of members of mine that passed over that no one would have known about. So it started me thinking and started me really wanting to research and read every book I could find in life after death, on metaphysics, on quantum physics, and just really take it in. And I did. I was like a sponge. And it was obviously I recognized truth within these books because I just knew it on some level. This was real. And what I did was I started meditating. I started meditating, mm-hmm. and for the only reason that, and I'm just going to be very honest, I thought, meditating, it'll help stress, it'll help relieve anxiety, and you can also visualize your future. So I thought I'd meditate and visualize myself as a future producer. That's really what I did.
Oh, amazing.
And probably a little while I was meditating, and I noticed after a little bit of meditating for several months or so forth, I started seeing lights and colors around people again, like I did as a child. So it opened something up. And then I was one day working at a job, and this girl's, my coworker was in the next cubicle over, and this dead woman was standing behind her, a lady. Mm. And she looked at me, this lady, this dead woman, and she said telepathically, you have to talk to her. You have to let her know I'm okay. I'm her grandmother. I used to live in Idaho in the yellow house with white shutters. We made a footstool cover together.
Oh,
and I
nice.
Asked the coworker, it was kind of crazy, but I asked my coworker, and she said, yes, that's my grandmother. I spent every summer with her in Idaho. That was a description of her house, and we used to do needlepoint together, and we made a footstool cover together. And I freaked out completely. I ran out of that job, went back to my apartment, really not knowing what to do, because this is a world now. This is something which I can't tell anybody about. And this is 30 years ago, so you know, couldn't tell anybody about this. How can I relate to people, and so forth and so on. And the only person I could think of calling was that medium who predicted my work. And he said, when I called him up, I said, I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do, because this has come to me, and I've seen these things. And he said, James, do you not remember the prediction the spirit world made about you? And that was, you're going to be a spirit voice. And I said, yes, I do remember that. And he said, James, the prediction was 2 years ago today. So it happened that day, 2 years earlier.
Oh, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that interesting?
So,
well, you know,
that was the beginning.
I'll be doggone. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what Daniel Brinkley says?
What is that?
He says most of his friends are dead.
Well, tell me about it. Yes. I have a dead end job. I know.
right. and it's funny. I've been in touch. My dad passed away in March of 99. Bless his soul. And it's kind of funny. He said to me before, "What are you going to do? Kill me? You know? I mean, haha. Anyway, he's already dead. But
right."
But so anyway, you started getting into more and more mediumship. And back when you started, were people like in disbelief that you could do it?
But it was a very different culture at that time. Was very different. The playing field is extremely different. Really, there was no one out there except for a man by the name of George Anderson from Long Island, New York. A lot of another one from New York. John Edward wasn't even out there yet. I was really the first one out there. Sylvia Brown was out there in her way, but she was just in kind of in her California. Fresno or something, and where she lived, she really just did psychic readings. She wasn't on television, so there was really no medium on television per se. I was the first one to be on national or international television on the Larry King show back in December of, I think it was 97, my first book, Talking to Heaven, and it was so interesting. That all just fell right into place. Thank you, Spirit. I just happened to call the executive producer. I had her phone number from years before when she'd seen me on this other TV show, and as I was talking to her, her grandfather came through and told very specific details, and she actually said, what are you doing tonight? And I said, nothing. Would you like to be on the show? I said, I'd like to. And that was when my first book came out, Talking to Heaven, and that was on a Friday night, and the CNN bureaus all around the world, the telephone lines did not stop until Sunday afternoon.
I'll be doggone.
And my book went from obscurity to number one within like a week, and then they called it the miracle of the publishing world, and it makes sense to me. It made complete sense to me, because every single human wants to know what's going on. They're all aware of birth. We know about birth. If this happened, we have some idea what that's about.
Sure.
But every single individual wants to know about death. What's in store for them? What is it about? And at that time, in that arena back 30 years ago, there was no one else to tell them. So it really just opened up the doorway, if you will. And then I was approached to do a show called Crossing Over, and I couldn't do it because I was in California and I was traveling. And I told the producer to call a guy by the name of John Edwards out in Long Island, who I'd met once before, and he was working in a hospital. He did readings at night. I thought he was very good, and they did. And that's how John's show started.
Oh.
And I think between that show, my show, our work, and then Sylvie got out there, and then there were some other people, of course, and then, of course, now Teresa Caputo's out there and doing some great stuff. And it's just the movies and the books and the TV shows, like I was about the Ghost Whisperer and the Medium, they really have helped change the consciousness of the planet, definitely. And, of course, nowadays, you know, what you do, your radio show, so forth, is more getting into the norm than not the norm. So more people are open to it because everybody has an experience of some kind. They have intuition, and that's the soul's language, of course. And we're finally honoring who we are. So it's great.
I couldn't agree more, James. You do such important work. I have to ask you this question, my friend. I hope you don't mind.
I don't mind.
But I had a gentleman on my program here back in April. His name's Dr. Stanley Monteith. He's a medical doctor from California, and he had a radio network called Radio Liberty, across 100 stations across the country in Canada. He talked a lot about issues facing the country today. I really liked him. I was going to have him on later this month again. But he was on my show, even though I don't think he agreed completely with my views on psychic abilities and everything. He agreed with angels, but I'm not so sure whether you agreed on the other side.
Right.
Would you mind me, if you don't mind me, I don't like, don't mind putting you on the spot, James, but if you pick up anything from him now, does he believe in the spirit world now that he's passed on?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. It's hard to do a spirit communication, just turning it on like that and zoning in.
Okay.
Not always easy.
Okay.
If you have some member of his family sitting in the studio, that link would be easy to establish. But it's hard to just pull things right out of the air. I don't really work that way.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
Okay, I apologize. I don't mean
to... You might not know how it works. It's fine.
Great. Great. Well, for those who don't know a lot about the spirit world, James, I know that in your wonderful book, Adventures of the Soul, and I urge everyone out there to get a copy of it. It's a fascinating book. There's different, you talk about the sea of love, that actually souls, that we exist in a sea of love. And I love that analogy because all of us, I think in one way, shape, or form or another, are either looking for love, want love, have been hurt by love. So it's a big factor. And I think, and I agree with you that it's the most powerful force in the universe. You also talk about different spiritual realms, astral planes, the lowest, the intermediate, highest, the mental plane, the celestial plane, choices and lessons. Do you look at being down here on the planet kind of like a school, a schoolhouse?
Oh, without a doubt. This is a school. This is a soul schoolroom.
Uh-huh.
Without a doubt. This Earth world is a hard world. It's this human world because here's the physical things you got to work with. Like if in another dimension, it's all thought-based and mental-based. So you don't really have the physicality of it, but here you have to deal with the physical construction of it, feeling it, tactile, physical stuff, physical hurt, physical pain, physical killing, physical love, everything that's physical. It seems that there are many, many schoolrooms a soul can go to, and because there are many star systems. And I also think that it's really interesting. When we are human beings, I'm finding, and the older I get, the more I do this work, you know, I change and learn and evolve as well, which I always think is exciting. But I'm really getting to the perception that the Earth is like a grain of sand on the beach, and there's so many other grains of sand. So this is just one school of many, many star systems, planets, so forth. So this is just one place to go to. So there are many, many, many. But this place is one set up where there are souls of all different levels of evolution. So you might have one soul who's in nursery school, and one soul is a postgraduate. And because we have those differences in awareness, if you will, spiritual awareness, they will act differently, the scenarios will be set up differently, they'll behave differently, and so forth. And it really forces us, if you would, to go within and to really learn to love, learn to use your intuition about choices you have to make in this life. You have to learn here to step out of what you perceive around you, what is real and what is not real. So this is a place to grow really pretty quickly if you choose, the soul chooses. There are other places you can go to, but not they won't have this, the scenarios or, as I like to say, the particular classes or lessons that you'd have here on this earth. So I do believe that.
Is it I've talked to some psychics, James, where during the in the spirit state between different reincarnations, that you actually contract with the Supreme Being for certain experiences, perhaps for certain lessons to be learned. Is that true from what you've learned?
Well, again, we got to be very, very careful when we look at these things. And I just spoke about this yesterday on a television show I was working with. I have a TV show called Spirit Talk for all your listeners who it's on Gaiam TV, which is really a great show. I lecture and do spirit philosophy on that show and also messages. But so the same thing came up yesterday in the show, and I just think it's important as human beings, we lock so much up in our three-dimensional perceptions because when you try to describe a sixth or seventh dimension in three-dimensional terms, you're obviously going to lose out on something.
So it
can't be that way. But I just know that we as human beings, as a soul, this physical body that we have is just a casing of the spirit of our soul, and that there are many bodies to us, there are many levels to us. I often say this is just like the nail or a thumb on a hand or on an arm if we are. Because we have so much more than just this physical body. We just don't see it. We just don't perceive it. But if we will, we're connected to that beautiful universal energy, the oneness we all are. And it's just a matter of us being aware of that and using that energy every day. And I find the more we open up our minds to use that energy, the more it manifests in the physical as well.
I have
remember, the mind is part of the soul. The brain is part of the body. So when the body dies, the brain dies, but the soul is part of the mind. So every memory that we've created on this earth remains in that mind, remains part of the soul. And every memory, every experience we've ever had in other lifetimes and in other places is all in our spirit mind. So that's really interesting.
Fascinating. I have to tell you, James, that that this studio, while you were talking about the light of the soul and evolution, has lit up. It's light, white light all around me.
That's really funny you say that, because yesterday at this TV program, I was out in the studio, and the control room next behind another room said it was really interesting, but all these lights just came in the hallway. They never happened. That never happens like that. So it's validation, I guess, huh?
Well, absolutely. Actually, you could save on the studio light bill if you wanted to hang around and just be on the show more often. Probably. That would be good.
Illumination.
Oh, absolutely. In your book on page 71, there's a couple of different quotes that I want to read to you because I think they're quite profound and I wanted to share it with our listeners. On page 71, you write, "The love energy of each person, of each individual soul as it leaves the body, vibrates at different rates. And the energy that you happen to be vibrating when the silver cord is broken, when you pass on, will determine your place in the dimensions of spirit." I thought that to be fascinating. Does that mean if you're in a really bad mood as you pass over, that you'll end up in a crummy place, so it's always good to be in a good mood?
What if I said yes?
Okay, well.
Would we live better, I hope?
I hope so.
Yeah, and that's funny we say that because it's really true in that when we leave, we are exactly as the same we were here on the earth. Wherever our mind was here right now will be the same mind when you leave. When we shed this shell, the mind is still the same. So many of the belief systems that we have now, whether religious belief systems or certain whatever kind of belief systems that we have, our faiths or religions, whatever, we go to that space which we've created based upon our thoughts, our beliefs, our words, our deeds, we thought of each other, we thought of ourselves. So in the Bible, I like to refer to the Bible because people recognize that manual. But it's the Bible, it says, "My Father has a house with many mansions." Mm-hmm. And what I believe that to mean are the various spiritual levels which exist, which I believe it's a worlds within worlds type of scenario.
Fascinating.
So it's worlds within worlds and worlds, and like attracts like. So magnetically, you will be attracted to a certain level of vibration that you are. So depending on how much love you've given to the earth, how much compassion, how much you've done to help the humankind, you will end up in a certain level with that. Now, if there was somebody who went out of their way to kill people, hate people, hurt people, you'll end up with a level on that level where that is real. Mm-hmm. And you have to what happens when you first pass over, there's a life review. And you have to relive everything you ever did to anybody else and feel how they felt from that thought, from that word, from that action. 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, you'll feel it stronger. And you have to then forgive yourself for what you gave to the world. So
fascinating.
You can imagine what happens when you're in a world there where there's no time, because in the other dimensions there's no time. Time is only relative to this three-dimensional world. So just imagine when you're in a mental world, reliving over and over again in your mind all those negative things you did to somebody else. Wow. Now, that could be your hell. That exactly is what hell is. But if you went out of your way and you tried to do the best you could in the schoolroom, you tried to utilize love and forgiveness and understanding, then we really don't have much to worry about because we're learning. We're here to learn.
Sure.
So, but just have the awareness that what you give out, you get back, that you are God and God is creation. We create all the time with our thoughts, our words, our actions. Thoughts are things, and all of your thoughts wait for you when you get over to the side of life.
Really? How fascinating. I was very fortunate growing up for the last 20 years. I had a wonderful foster mother, Terry, who was a master psychic, and she gave me life reviews for about 18 years. During that time, I was able to advance 15 or 16 different spiritual lifetimes.
Wow.
Which ended up giving me the capability to see auras, remote viewing, do my own psychic readings, and be in touch with the other side. So,
wow.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, it's just I was very, very fortunate. So, and I think it's important to note too, James, isn't it, that you not only review your own actions, but also you review it from the perspective of other people and even animals and the planet that you've affected.
That is correct. That is exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And Mm-hmm. It's really important that people get that because, you know, if they understand that, that there's no end to it, I mean, your thoughts and your sure. actions, sure. what you create, you will end up with, and you'll see it from the other person's point of view. I mean, if someone was aware of that,
right.
you know, every day, before they made a choice, and they knew about that, and they were mindful about that, maybe the choice would be different. So instead of being negative or being hateful or being angry,
right.
and they'd be a little bit more mindful about this because they know it's going to reach the other side, that they need to take responsibility for the actions and thoughts and words. And I find that that really was the message of the great religions, mm-hmm. that you really have to live unlike God, godlike. So, and I often say the Golden Rule is one of the best insights ever. Treat another person as you want to be treated, always.
Right.
Treat
right.
another person as you want to be treated. And I find that in the past 2 or 3 days, I'm just very observant, and I've had 3 or 4 people, and it was a taxi driver, it was a personal lobby of a hotel, it was somebody else, and they said to me, I love your laugh. You love to laugh. Thank you for bringing that laughter. Mm-hmm. And I was very observant about it because I'm very mindful of when I go into a space that I mm-hmm. try to change the energy to one of positivity, to love. If someone's down, I try to cheer them up, and just even a stranger, to change nice. The energy, because I think that's why we're here.
Sure. Sure.
Not, you know, we shouldn't waste time here. We should really work with the energy and share love with everyone.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, James. What a very profound thing to say.
Mm.
And on that, I just wanted to take a quick station announcement. For those who were just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, a suburb of Seattle in the United States on 1150 AM. We're having a wonderful interview with James von Prague, one of the world's best, in my opinion, best psychics and best mediums. One of the things, now this ties into...
Very sweet.
It's the truth. I'm getting this from the other side, spirit world. I'm just the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. one of the things, of course, that goes along with that is karma and reincarnation.
Yes.
And is it true from your experience in talking to the other side that, for example, if you don't learn all your lessons here, that you might come back and have to repeat it? It's like you flunk first grade, and sorry, you have to come back and repeat first grade before you go on to second.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it's all a matter of, and it's very interesting when we speak about, I'm doing a new book right now about reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
and it's very, very interesting because we have to take it from perspective that a soul is the soul, mm-hmm. and a soul is really about experiences, okay?
Sure.
And it's learning, and it's expanding, and growing. And if you don't understand or grow, It isn't a punishment to come back and grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of learning something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't learn one way, your soul will want to learn it another way. It's not a matter of that feels like a punishment. It's just understanding. So it's becoming more aware of understanding. So if we all used love every single moment of our lives and understood things and really that perspective of things from another person's point of view, well, I think then we would advance and evolve, and we'd learn that one quickly.
Sure.
So if we don't, we choose to come back. But again, we don't choose necessarily to come back on this planet. There are other places also to come back to.
I have a friend named Scott Lemriel in Los Angeles. He was on my show, been on the show several times. An interesting fellow, very interesting. He's written a new book called The Sairways Agenda. And he says, from his discussions, he's had face-to-face contact with benevolent ETs for 52 years. He says, from discussions with his friends from out of town, that there are actually 30 or 40 planets in different dimensions in the solar system that we only see in this dimension, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 planets, and if you include mm-hmm. Pluto. But there's actually other planets, Earth-like, in this dimension as well. So,
oh, definitely. I totally agree, 100%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we end up... I don't see this happening because I think the future of humanity is very bright, James. But if we did end up blowing this world up, it not only affect this planet in this dimension, but all the other Earth-like planets too in other dimensions.
Oh, it's all connected. It's all the one. It's all oneness. It's
mm-hmm.
all the one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what affects one thing affects the other, and it's true. I don't think we'll blow up this world.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that's going to happen. But
no.
I think that we, like you said, we have to be aware and mindful that the influence that we have for the whole galactic system, it's very important. And yeah, I agree. We humans are very low in the rung, it seems. They talk about us being low in the rung and the ladder,
mm-hmm.
that we're kind of in the first grade down here because
mm-hmm.
we still don't understand what love is. We still kill people. We still have war.
Right.
And it's like, what's that about? So
right.
yeah, we still haven't learned it yet.
Right, but I think we're getting there. And certainly your work and the purpose of my radio program is to raise human consciousness around the world. And we're succeeding, you know, because the light's stronger than the dark. And eventually, Nostradamus, back in the 16th century, way back when, he forecast 1,000 years of spiritual enlightenment and literally a golden age starting for humanity in the year 2030s to 2040s. And I still see that happening for humanity on this planet. Sure, we've got our difficulties. Sure, we've got problems. What age hasn't? But I think we're going to overcome them, and I think we're going to have a much better planet to live on in the coming years. James, tell me something. You've written some really interesting things in your book. You talk about energy and emotion, personal guides, mastery guides. What kind of – does each person have a guide or an angel around them?
Yes, I really find it important that we don't, again, get lost. I had to put it in the kind of labels in the book because people mm-hmm. understand labels. But, mm-hmm. again, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't want to define by labels. But we all do have, if you will, those beings around us, mm-hmm. Guides, teachers, angels, whatever you want to call them. And they, of course, those guides have guides and teachers, angels. So it's like a hierarchy. It goes up and higher and higher and higher. Mm-hmm. So there's an influence up to the higher levels, if you will. So I do believe that we have guides that were born within this one lifetime. I think there are guides and teachers from a former lifetimes, if you will, the soul's life. I also mm-hmm. believe that there are certain guides, teachers, who are assigned to us when we enter into a different project. So, for instance, let's say you wanted to start doing oil painting. Mm-hmm. Well, there might be a specialist on the other side who knows about oil painting, who knows about form, who knows about aesthetics, who knows about these things, an expert. And they will try to impress upon you, to bring out your innate gifts, your innate abilities, to go deep within, to feel and connect with those abilities of art, which is in your soul. So they will try to bring them out. And I knew when I was starting to develop as a medium, I had drawn to me, a doctor, a chemist, and a scientist, believe it or not, to work with the energy fields around me in order to be more receptive to the spirit influences. So it's really interesting. We all have guides and teachers. And some of our guides, by the way, can be family members who passed over.
Sure.
Who just, maybe they didn't feel they did enough for that soul while living on the earth. Now in the spiritual realms, they're able to be with them more, help them more, be more of a mother, more of a husband, more of a father. That happens all the time, every day.
Well, I have to tell you, again, I want to thank my wonderful foster mother, Terry, for teaching me about the other side, because she taught me that if you want to ask a question to your guides in the spirit world, if you just mentally ask it, often the answer will come back either mid-thought, because they already know what you're going to think, or immediately thereafter, and it's usually the first thought that comes back. And meditation's good because it helps you tune into the other side. I think there's a lot more dimensions than just this one. One thing I wanted to tell you too, James, is that I used to live in India, and I studied there for a number of years. And one of the things I learned was that I had to learn different religions. And I learned that at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the Roman Emperor Constantine took out all references to karma and reincarnation from the Bible.
Sure.
Because his wife was a prostitute, and she didn't want to pay for her sins in her next lifetime. That's a true story. But what's interesting, if you read those texts which were excluded, they read a lot like the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu Bible, basically, and it talks about reincarnation, and it goes along with the old adage, do unto others as you would do unto yourself, and fits in perfectly with what you said before.
Sure, and the Quran speaks about it, the Bible speaks about it, refers to reincarnation. All the holy texts have the references to reincarnation. So it's just when you take, I want to down any religions, that's not what I'd like to do, but I will say one thing is that you have to look, again, yesterday on my TV show, the whole subject was on religion, and mm-hmm. what it came up to was, I think there are many religions. I think they're all different roads and pathways to the light. And I think that those are just different frequencies of it or different roads, but they'll all lead eventually back to the oneness. So I think that we have to take from those religions, the certain tenets about love and that oneness and compassion and goodness of each other, and throw away the controlling parts and throw away the critical, the judgment parts. Sure. And a fear-based dogma. We take away the dogma from it, and we're left with the light from it. So we've got to be very, very mindful of that, because I think religions have their place. Sure. I just think we'd be careful of the dogma and of the judgment with them.
Sure. I don't know if this is the apt analogy or not, but my spirit guides on the other side just gave me one. They said all roads lead to Rome. In other words, if all roads lead to God, all roads lead to love, basically. There's just different paths to get there.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, when we reincarnate in this plane, we're in the soul school here. Life is full of choices, isn't it, James? I mean, you make choices every day. You get to a street corner, you have to decide whether to go forward, right or left. When you meet someone, you have to make a decision whether you like that person. I mean, there's lots, tons and tons of choices. So hopefully you make the right choices. What's the best way if people are searching for answers, James, and they're in an impasse in life and they're confused? Meditation, is that the best way to step back?
Yes, I say meditation because I think that the silence is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think the silence is very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we have all the answers inside of us. We do. Our soul knows all the answers. It's just a matter of the human getting out of the way and going within to the soul and language and listening carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just let me go back to what you were saying before, reference about guides coming, listen to your guides.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to throw out to your listeners, another way of doing that is listen, but listen to the spaces in between the thoughts.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting, right? Listen to the space in between the thoughts, because that's the thing, get in. Otherwise, we're trying to control it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if one wants to learn about what's the right choice for them, which is really all life is a series of choices,
mm-hmm.
and a choice, they're only love or fear, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. We make it more complex than it needs to be. The truth is very simple, but humans tend to make it more complex. And I think that if one sits within themselves, the stillness, and starts listening to their soul speak to them through intuition, because
mm-hmm.
intuition is a soul's voice,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to that gut, they listen to that voice, the choices are much easier. It's when we make choices based upon the rational mindset, the left brain, the critical mind, the judgment, that we won't see it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But when we really listen from the intuitive side of ourselves, our true self, that soul self, which has been around eons and eons and eons of times, that's where your truth is. That's how you know the truth and the right way to make the choice.
And one important thing I want to share with you too, James, and my many listeners, is that if you use drugs or alcohol, that can interfere with spirit communication.
And yeah. It's very much, it's true. It's really interesting to say that. It's very, very interesting to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So people should know that because it's all energy,
mm-hmm.
and drugs and alcohol. Some people tend to use it and it brings up the vibration, but it really doesn't. It slows it down.
Right.
But they try to get, some people are so sensitive and empathetic, sometimes they just want to take a drink to not be so open, not even aware probably why they're drinking.
Sure.
But it's very true of the drinking and drugs. It's very true. But it's also, this is another interesting one. Because everything is energy, I like to say to people, well, you've got to be careful not only of drinking and drugs and all that sort of thing, but you also need to be careful about the atmosphere that's around you and what energy is sticking on you. And if you don't take time to cleanse the energy around you in your auric field, you're not going to be able to see, feel, or hear clearly, and that will affect you as well. So, for instance, people that are thinking about you all day, thoughts are things, and that thought goes right to that person. It's like a bullet, and that person's a target right there, and it sits in their auric field.
Right.
And if that person doesn't take the time to really, if you will, cleanse and center and really rid themselves of other people's energy in their space, eventually that soul is going to get tired or depressed or have sleep problems or
sure.
or something, headaches, or something is going to, it's just weird because the other person's energy impedes on our own energy field. And we have to be responsible enough to, I do it every morning in the shower, bring through a beautiful light in my crown chakra and cleanse everything out, any foreign energies around me, thoughts of other people. I just let it go right down through my tip of my fingers, coming out the tips of my fingers, not my toes, out to the drain. And I really then will be mindful of energy, any energies around me, and I just peel them away, take them away with my thoughts, because thoughts are things. So that's really important that people do that as well, because if you're going to work for the spirit world or you're going to work at intuitive levels or at healing levels, you want to be a pure vessel for sure. And if you have anything else in that space that's blocking that light, blocking the energy, you're not going to be as pure to be receiving a channel.
Well, I'll drink to that. So just a joke. I'll drink to that, James. One thing I wanted to tell you that I was in Egypt a long time ago, and I was down visiting the pyramids both in Giza and down around Luxor. And on the inscriptions, in the inscriptions of hieroglyphics in Luxor, the pyramids, the Egyptian relics in Luxor, they said that the Egyptian doctors would say that disease equals dis-ease, which I've always found fascinating because if you split the infinitive of that word, it means that stress and your energy, if you've got low energies, you're going to open yourself up to various physical problems. So it's important to try to keep a positive attitude. I had Dr. Masaru Emoto on the show, very fortunate to have him on July 25th a couple of months ago. And he's, of course, done water intention experiments where he's taken two glasses of water, one glass of water, James. He's focused positive thoughts. And in that glass of water, that's where you focus positive thoughts, he's examined the molecular structure of the water in an electron microscope, and you can see these beautiful water crystals that have developed. In a second glass of water, he's had an audience focus thoughts of hate and negativity toward the second glass, and on the molecular level for that second glass of water, there's completely disjointed, no beautiful water crystals, nothing. So thoughts are things in the fifth dimension. They do influence everything, so it's important to try to keep a positive attitude, even if you are having a crummy day.
So. It's really true because, you know, I always say challenges are opportunities turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really true because it's just learning. If we can take the judgment away from things and the critical mind, you know, that judgment is all fear-based, and that's not our vibration. Our vibration is of love. Mm-hmm. That's who we are. That's our natural energy. That's our natural state of being.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when that human, it's hard down here. It is hard. You can't always live like that. We always want to. But if we just try, you know, just try to do the best we can with the situation. You know, I'm on a book tour right now, and I'm all over the world and the country, and I'm hopping on one plane, going on another, and it's tiring. It's exhausting. But mm-hmm. I said to the flight attendant last night, I said, you know what, I just take it one moment at a time, one mm-hmm. day at a time, because you just have to. Everything is different, and things can tick you off, and plane delays, and this happens. And
sure.
But, you know, you just got to breathe. Just got to breathe it in. For some reason, maybe something happens that would prevent something else from happening in the future when there are delays or we don't get through like we want to sometimes. There's always going to be a bigger reason behind things. I know there is.
And I couldn't agree with you more, James, because I've had things happen in my own life where I tried to do something and it's just not working out, and I wasn't supposed to work out because something better was supposed to come along, for example.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we as human beings, like a mm-hmm. linear explanation for something, and it isn't that. It's like something better is coming on and like three blocks later, and it caused that person to have a red light for this to happen. I remember I was once at Omega Institute. I teach a lot at Omega mm-hmm. Institute. It's in upstate New York, Rhinebeck, New York,
mm-hmm.
and I remember there was a meeting I had with the head of the founder of Omega across the Hudson River. It was a dinner, a very important dinner to go meet people. And I remember we went, and it was we couldn't get over the bridge of the Hudson River, and we were delayed. About 10 minutes, just couldn't get there. And it was good that we didn't, because if we had gotten there 10 minutes early, there was a 5-car pileup on the bridge.
Oh, my God.
So we could have been right in the middle of that. So you never know why things are held back from us or prevented. We just got to realize that everything happens in its proper time.
I just want to take a quick station announcement here. For those who've just tuned in, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, in the United States, in North America, on 1150 AM. We're interviewing James von Prague, in my opinion, one of the world's best psychics and mediums. James, I want to give you an example of communications from the other side and how they can help you. Terry, my wonderful foster mother, it was back, saved my life many times. And in one particular instance, in July of 1999, I was living in Olympia, and I was going to drive over to Spokane, where she and her husband were living, foster dad. And literally 2 minutes before I stepped out the door, she gives me a call and says, Ted, I don't want you to leave right now. And I asked why, and she said, it'd be better for you to leave tomorrow morning. And I said, okay. So the next morning I'm getting up, I get the local paper, and there was a huge, terrible car accident on the freeway that I would have gone right in the middle of and probably would have been hurt or killed, and she saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to what you said earlier about, you know, sometimes things happen and you're not meant to do something. You've written in your book, James, that death is merely a change, and I think that's comforting to many people who've lost loved ones, including pets and animals and close relatives, parents, children, that they're still around you and they still very much love you. Is that true, James?
Very true.
Okay.
We get caught up in the human conception, the human perception,
mm-hmm.
and it's really interesting because we always think finality, we think of final, things are over here in this mm-hmm. linear world, but energy
right.
can't die, it changes form, it just changes. And this, we come back and go, well, this world isn't real, the Earth world. It is on a physical level, but it's so minute compared to who we are as far as spiritual beings. But they can be with you more in the spirit levels, around you, influencing you, spirit to spirit, mind to mind. And that's how I do the work I do. The spirit, my mind, my spirit, really, is being. being contacted or influenced by those minds that are around me, those spirits that are around me, sending a projection of a thought, sending a description of themselves, sending a feeling, a personality trait, an emotion. And that's why I'm able to receive information, because it's a mind-to-mind communication. And it's so interesting, because people in the human world, I think it's starting to change, but, you know, we have radio, obviously, and we're on the radio, TV, computers. We have music. We don't see these things in the air around us, because we know they exist. There are different waves of energy, all different types of waves all around us. We don't see the gamma rays and the microwaves and the television waves and radio waves. We don't see them, but we know they exist because we hear them or we use them. Sure. So it's like we have to realize that there are things that we do not see. But there are more things we do not see than we do see. That's what I believe.
Sure, right. I agree with you. I agree with you. James, we've got about 9 or 10 minutes left. Would you be interested perhaps in taking a few calls from my audience?
Sure.
Okay. For those who'd like to call in and ask James a question, the phone number here is 425-373-5527, or toll-free within Western Washington. The number here is 1-888-298-5569. Real quick, you had an amazing quote from Shakespeare, and I'd like to share that with you.
Mm-hmm.
All the world's a stage. All the men and women are merely players. They have their exits and entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. I thought that was a really nice quote you put in there.
So true.
Just wonderful.
It's so true. The world's our stage, and we take on different roles and different lifetimes, and one role might be the mother or the son or the friend or the animal. I mean, we take on many different roles, and we have different scenes. And I think I go on further in the book to say, then we stay backstage and wait for our scene to come back on. and we play sometimes a supporting role. We don't necessarily always be a star, but we made sometimes come into life as a supporting role.
Sure.
That happens quite a bit, too.
Sure.
I just talked to Shirley MacLaine about that, and we were talking about it. She feels exactly the same way. She said that's really what she feels as well, the world's the stage, and we take on supporting roles and leading roles, all different types of roles to learn. And, it's true.
I did a reading for a young lady in her mid-20s a couple of months ago, and she sat down. Most of the time, I cover myself and my client in lots of white light, so I only get answers, you know, that are good answers, truthful answers from the spirit side. And I looked at her, and I said, you used to be a man, weren't you? And she said, yes, I know that. And I said, you weren't a very nice man in that previous life, were you? And she said, no, I wasn't. I was awful. And then she said, I said, you've reincarnated as a woman to learn the softer side of your soul, so you can cut off, maybe make some of those rough edges from the previous life to be a better person this time. And she agreed with everything. It was really kind of a nice thing. And she was doing everything just right. But again, that goes back to we all play different roles. The screen here is lighting up like a Christmas tree. there's a million people calling in, James. And we can do the best we can.
That's all we can do is the best we can. We're not going to be able to get to everybody. But then come see me tonight or this weekend. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And my Facebook page, they go there as well. I talk to people on my Facebook page. James Van Praagh, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. I used to have a judge friend in Seattle here, and he used to tell me all the time, all you can do is that is your best you can. That's it. And I look at him, and I said, you know, you're right. That's all you can do is your best.
Yeah, true.
Well, let's take the first call, and for a quick question. Marlene, hi, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Hi, thank you. Hi, James.
Hi, Marlene, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for stepping out many, many years ago.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, is anybody visiting me right now? I've had some strange things going on where I live, so.
I think your father's passed over?
Nope.
No? There's a man over there, and he's next connected to your dad.
Okay.
So it'd be your father's side of the family, a man.
Okay.
Definitely. That I'm picking up. There might be more than one, but I pick up a man for sure.
Oh, okay, good.
And he'd be connected to your dad. And he would have died pretty quickly. It's like a sudden passing. Not one that is ill, but sudden passing.
Okay. That sounds right.
Okay. And that's what I get. You must like to cook or be in the kitchen a lot, huh?
I do.
Because I know that there will be people watching over you there in the kitchen as well, with mixing bowls and these sorts of things.
Can Spirit help us with financial decisions?
They can help you influence you. Yes, they can, if you're open and listening.
Okay.
Sometimes they can't answer all the tests for you. You see? Yeah. Sometimes it's tests.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Could you, James, for Marlene's benefit and for the benefit of my listeners around the world, could you please ask Spirit for the winning lottery numbers for this weekend's
thing? I would be speaking to you if I knew the lottery winners. I wouldn't be here. I'd be in a trip in the Riviera or something.
Hey.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. I know you have other callers, so
thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, thank you, Marlene.
Bye.
Thanks. And next we'll go to Marcia in Seattle. Marcia, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, thanks for connecting with me.
Go ahead, my friend, ask a question.
I just wondered if there was anything that my mom would like to convey to me that I'm not receiving.
I'm sorry to hear that.
My mom passed over in 2013.
Your mom passed over. What's her first name?
Her name's Geneva.
Geneva, okay. Well, let me just tell you, the first thing I get is that, you know, because you have a thought of them, they're usually right there. And I'm just going to ask you, the lady that I'm picking up around you, for some reason, I feel this stuff all over the place. I feel when she leaves, a trail of stuff all over the place. Can I say that to you?
Yes.
I feel with this lady that she doesn't have things sorted out before she passes. She has unfinished business. She leaves documents that aren't done. She leaves things kind of a mess. And I don't know if she was kind of a messy person physically. If there was a mess, she liked to, like a little bit of a pack rat sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. And I feel as if, by the way, I don't know why, but her legs, I don't know if they were legs are very bad for her before she passes over, the walking or the legs.
Right.
And were they swollen, please?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Because the reason I'm asking is I get this lady that has swollen legs, and I feel like I have to really push myself up off a sofa or off a chair, and I'm really not happy about that. I don't feel I like the body, the physical body. I know my legs feel bad. I know there's a lot of there's a little bit of breathing conditions toward the end here, too. Not sure if she had asthma or something, but feels like I'm getting wheezy, okay?
Yeah.
And I know that the hair goes back, so I know that toward the end of life, my hair is pulled toward the back of me. But I don't have a good self-image of myself. Can I say that?
That's true.
And I know that I'd go through bowels of depression. You know, very depressed and open and depressed and up and then down. And I know that this lady would have suffered early on in life. There would be someone that left her, or there'd be some emotional trauma around her in her probably 20s.
James and Marcia.
Yeah?
I'm sorry to interrupt, my friends, but we've got just a little over 2 minutes, and I wanted to make an announcement and then give you the rest. But thank you so much, Marcia. And my friends, I know that there's a lot of other people on the line waiting to talk to James, but if they like, he's got a wonderful seminar tomorrow going on, as well as another workshop tonight, and I do urge you to sign up for it. I want to make a couple of announcements quick, and then I want to give you the rest of the time, James. 1 week from tomorrow, I've been invited to an international UFO conference in Bergen, Norway. I will be flying out next week for the conference. The conference participants include Omnek, contactee of benevolent aliens, and all of the people there who are attending have had face-to-face contact with different UFO and ET civilizations, so it should be pretty interesting. During our next hour, we will be interviewing Graham Hancock, who is probably Britain's most famous ancient civilizations archaeologist, as well as an accomplished author. But James, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I'd like to give you the rest of the time to please have the floor and have
the thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I just wanted to say to people, if they want to contact me more, I also have a radio show on Tuesday mornings called Hay House Radio, and a spirit talk, I talk to spirit. And on Gaia TV, there's a TV show called Spirit Talk. So, and on my website is the best place to find that at, which is vanprague.com. VanPrahah.com, and you can find all the events from all over the country I do, and teachings, workshops, and also on, like I said earlier, Facebook. I'm on there. I go on every day. So I hope to meet everybody in the community, and also workshops with readings, and I do readings and all that sort of thing at the workshops.
Wonderful. Wonderful, James. Well, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay, love and light.
All right, James. You take care. Have a wonderful day, my friend. And again, I'm sorry we couldn't get to everyone now, But please stay tuned for Graham Hancock, one of Britain's most famous ancient civilizations archaeologists, coming on the show in about 5 minutes.